Design pro and million-dollar decorating guest Alexa Hampton knows how to start every project with a floor plan. It guarantees success every time. RoomStyler makes it easy for anyone to design like a pro. Go to RoomStyler.com now and join for free. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Million Dollar Decorating, the only podcast devoted to the worlds of design, decorating, and beautiful living. I'm your host, James Swan, and I am thrilled to have you subscribing to the show today. Remember to head over to our website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can learn more about our family of design enthusiasts. Add your name to our email list, then follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. You'll be part of all the great things we have going on. And the really great thing that's happening at this very minute is that I get to introduce you to our guest today. She is a New York-based designer who believes that the best decor reflects the evolution of life. Each stage is a new chapter to be celebrated. Known for creating design schemes with classic silhouettes, contemporary finishes, her critical eye, practical approach to planning, and impeccable attention to detail culminate in inviting and serene spaces. She grew up on a family farm in North Dakota where, from an early age, she was fascinated by landscape, color, and the beauty of nature. She attended the University of Minnesota and North Dakota State University, graduating with a major in textiles, and set her sights on New York to work in the apparel industry. A few years later, she took off time to raise a family and became an avid collector of antiques. Owning her knowledge and passion, she opened her gallery in 1999, specializing in French and continental furniture and fine art. In 2006, at the urging of long-standing enthusiasts of her antique gallery, she expanded her role by offering complete design services. Since its founding, her firm has completed an extensive number of varied projects throughout the country, from the most elegant of urban residences to casual weekend retreats. She designs, she inspires, she collects, and is always making the world more beautiful. Renee Cohen, welcome to Million Dollar Decorating.
Thank you for having me.
So good to have you. Curious to have you take us back to the farm in North Dakota. How did a farm girl end up in New York City dealing in antiques and fine interior design?
Well, obviously a long road, but I think growing up in the environment where I grew up in a very small rural community, the home was extremely important in my upbringing. My mother was a wonderful seamstress. Her home was always important to her. So as I went off to college at that time, I always knew that I would somehow leave the farm. It just wasn't enough for me to be there. And started in my college endeavors to pursue what was called at that time home economics. So it gave me a really rounded understanding of what the home was all about. And textiles was a passion of mine. And through that, I got to Minneapolis, where I finished my university years at the University of Minnesota, started working, and I was working in a retail apparel company and began buying from a company in New York. So I traveled a lot from Minneapolis to New York in that industry and met my husband. And he happened to own the company that I started working for. And the rest was history. I moved to New York in 1979 and actually 1978. Got married in 1979 and had a family and then went on to really pursue a passion as they got a little bit older of antiques. And then, as you said, design work.
Renee, it's fascinating to me how passions evolve and blossom over time. That seems to be clearly what's happened for you.
Well, you know, I think all of us who enjoy what we do develop passion for it. The home has always been extremely important to me, but business was also. My father was an entrepreneur. He did own a farm, but also a business. And I develop my passion for business through him. So I think it's not only the passion of a beautiful home and helping people create their surroundings, but that's also where my organizational skills came from and helping people look at their homes, not just from an aesthetic standpoint, but how are you going to live there? How are you going to use your home? What's important to you? So every day I learn, you know, no matter how old I get, every day is a new learning experience, every project I work on. I'm excited about. We learn from everything we do. And I think passion just stems from being open and loving what you do, and it never dies. So it's a growing experience every single day in this business.
It sounds like you continue to grow in your passion and your love for what you do.
I think if you love what you do, everyone does, you know, and if you, once you stop with that passion, then maybe it's time to change and direct and redirect and do something else.
Some very wise words. Hopefully you're not at that point yet.
Not yet. No.
Well,
some days I think about it, but no, not yet.
Ah, so you have those days too.
Oh, I think we all do. You know, you get up in the morning and the things just don't go the way you think they're going to do. But somehow by the end of that day, you figured it out and you move on.
Well, now I'm going to dig a little deeper there because I do like to ask that question a little further in the interview. But since we're here now, how do you navigate through waters like that when the days are just really difficult?
Just knowing that there isn't any problem out there that can't be solved. And I think keeping in perspective that some of the things we deal with design and with our homes is as much as they're so important at that particular moment. It's a piece of our lives. And I think I just always approach things, as I said earlier, from a very practical way. And there's never a problem that can't be solved. It can become aggravating when we do it, but it can always be solved.
That's a good approach. I like that very, very much. So tell us what you're working on right now that has you really excited.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, some longtime clients of mine reached out to me and asked if I would help them find and help them purchase a beach house in the Hamptons. And so we are looking right now in the West Hampton area, going all the way east, kind of to Southampton. And because I had a home in the Hamptons myself for several years, I really know neighborhoods and locations. So they've asked me to not only help them find the home, but then help them create the vision for how the home should look once we actually choose one. And I think what's so exciting for me about this is I'm in really from the beginning. It's going to be my vision that helps them not only choose the location, but also the design perspective. And I'm not listening to maybe other professionals that have been chosen before me, like architects or contractors. I get to be the point person on this and really see it through from start to finish. So it's really exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
That sounds thrilling. So are you looking in a traditional vocabulary? Is this a more modern thing that you're searching for, or do you know at this point?
I don't think we quite know. They're a younger couple, and they have a more modern aesthetic, but with a real traditional twist. So not a real sleek, modern look, but definitely more of a contemporary, young, fresh feeling. And I think a lot will be dictated by the location, if this house is all about a view or if it's more about the interior and a garden courtyard feeling. So I think it's really going to be directed by what we see. And as we look at every, the pros and cons of each location, what fits their needs best, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Exciting, exciting. Now, knowing your work and your love for antiques, are these clients who are all equally passionate about antiques?
I think most of my clients are very open to integrating pieces of antiques.
Okay.
I think my aesthetic has changed along the line road as well, in that when I first started my antique business, people were coming in and furnishing their entire homes in antiques. I couldn't bring in things fast enough. Now, then it went really to so sleek and so modern that nobody wanted anything. And now I'm finding that it's pulling into that kind of mode again, but from an eclectic standpoint. So most of my homes that I design, including for this young couple, do have vintage or antique pieces that we've mixed in, whether it's a fabulous mirror or one great side chair or, accessories that can be brought in. So it's a little bit of a mixture. So they do love them. I don't think that they have a passion as I do. It's more how it fits into their mix. And if they love a piece, they'll buy it.
Nice. I'm glad to hear that it's at least in the mix. We hear horror stories, people predicting that, the younger generation have abandoned antiques completely. And it's just nice to know that that's not the case.
Yeah. And I'm not seeing that. I'm finding that if anything, some of my younger clients are kind of coming back a little bit to have more of a traditional twist. And I'm not sure why, but I am seeing a little bit of a twist back again.
Well, don't ask why, just run with it.
Yes.
Right? So when you look at the big picture of the business, Renee, whether it's design, the antiques, the whole scope of it, what's the thing that you love the most about the work that you do right now?
Well, I think probably helping my clients develop a better quality of life. They really come to me. So many of them just don't have a clue as to what they want or how they should proceed. They just know that they want a better living environment and that they've reached a level in their lives where they want to entertain. They want to be proud of what they have. They've worked hard. So I think that getting them to that point, and each client is different. So every single home I do is different. I don't think that I have a particular look that always comes through. I think looking at what their needs are and helping them complete their dreams for how they want to live is what I find the most fun. The beginning of a project is a lot of fun for me, sitting down with those plans and finding everything that, you know, needs to be put into that mix. The end of the project is fun pulling it together. The middle becomes a little more drudgery. So the beginning, that vision that you can put in place that gets people excited, to me is the most fun.
It is fun indeed, isn't it?
Yes, it's a lot of fun. A lot of work, but a lot of fun.
It is a lot of work too. Now, when you flip that coin over, there are those challenging times. We spoke a little bit about that mm-hmm. earlier. What is the biggest challenge in the work that you do, Renee?
I think one of the biggest challenges that I've found recently is there are so many mistakes that are made by resources, and it doesn't matter how much we follow through with what needs to be done. There are many things that have to be, you know, redirected two and three times before we really get it where it needs to be. So I think it's very frustrating when other people don't necessarily follow through with what they are supposed to follow through with. And we always get there. You know, the resources are always good about finally making it happen, but it's very frustrating that it needs to take two and three times the amount of time before it actually gets there. But right. I think, again, our perspective on being patient and kind of hanging in there until it gets done right is very much appreciated by our clients. And it works, but it gets very frustrating at times. And waiting for deliveries is impossible. You know, trying to get these deliveries in is impossible.
Yeah. And when they tell you 8 weeks, it ends up being 18, right?
You know, not so much that as it's the delivery companies that give you, you know, a 6-hour window of time that their furniture is going to show up. And, you know, we accept all of our deliveries because if there are any issues, we want to be there to deal with it right on site. It takes a lot of time and a lot of aggravation trying to get those pieces in and the workers there when they say they're going to show up.
A challenge, no doubt.
Yes.
Now, our listeners, Renee, are at home often working to create beauty in their own homes. Tell us what you think to be is a common mistake that people make when they're working on their own home, and how can people avoid mistakes like that?
Well, I think, first of all, if you're working on your own, not with a decorator or a designer, you still need to have a plan. So I think starting with a plan is extremely important, and not buying impulsively, and not putting quantity over quality. You know, I think people feel they have to get everything done all at once, and then they just run out and buy a piece because they think it's great. And then when they try to make everything work around it, it doesn't. And you don't have to have everything all at once as long as you have a plan to know what you want in the long term. So value quality over quantity. Take your time and make sure you're happy with every purchase you make.
Some very wise words. Very wise words indeed. Let's turn the tables around for a moment, Renee, and talk and think about your own home. Do you have a favorite room in your home? And if so, why?
Well, now I live in an apartment in Manhattan, which is a change for me. And I thought about this a lot, and I think that the living room right now in my home is my favorite room. And part of it is because of the light that filters in. I have wonderful windows. I look out at the Chrysler Building in New York City. It's really just looking is a beautiful thing. And I filled it with very comfortable furniture because I know that that's a room that I was going to use a lot. And I have an incredible bookshelf in that room just filled with all of my favorite things. So I'd have to say living room right now.
Sounds like a good place to hang out.
It's well, I knew I'd be hanging out there on any time I had at home. So we made it extremely beautiful and very comfortable.
So tell me, Renee, what would our listeners be surprised to find in your home?
You know, I don't know. From a decorating standpoint, I don't know that people would find anything that would be so unusual. I thought about what my friends might think would be unusual. And I happen to love to cook, and I spend a lot of time in my kitchen. So, and they know the importance I place on food. So this really isn't something that's from a design standpoint that people would find amazing, but I have packaged ramen noodles in my kitchen cabinets because when I need some kind of comfort food, somehow they just taste so good. And I don't know if it brings me back to my college days, but that's the one thing I think that anybody who knows me would be amazed at. And one thing in my older home that I think people would have found amazing that I had was a very old mangler, which is something that presses flat pieces of clothing. And it came with the house when I purchased it. I happened to have a French lady that helped me with housekeeping at the time, and we got this mangler going, and we had the most incredible sheets and pillowcases and tablecloths that you could imagine. So that was a kind of fun anecdote from my big house days.
What a treat. Those really spoil you with the way they press an iron, don't they?
They're amazing. They really are.
Let's think about design or style heroes for a moment, Renee. If you had the opportunity to spend an hour or so with a hero of yours, could be living, could be dead, who might you select and tell us why?
Well, from a design standpoint, I really admire Vincent Wolfe. I love his aesthetic. I love his approach to design. I love his books. I love the way he brings nature and vintage pieces from all over the world into his design aesthetic. So if I could spend an hour with someone right now who's in the design field who I really admire and think very highly of, I think I would choose him.
That's a good pick. Very good pick. We've had him on the show, and he is a delightful gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love his work. I really do.
Good selection there. So much has happened for you, Renee, that's brought you up to this point. Great successes. We are excited to see much more from you as time moves on. But what's out on the horizon for you? Something that you have your eyes set on? Maybe it hasn't materialized yet, but that you're working towards?
I think that I would like to develop a photo journal of all of my work. Not necessarily to, you know, publish. Everybody wants to publish a book. I think more for my own, just to see my own progression. So I've done quite a bit of photography, or had photography done, of the works in progress and the finished product. But I'd like to put a dialogue to that, text to that, to kind of walk it through where I started and where I ended and what jobs were kind of in between. So that is on my horizon, and I have done some work towards that, but not nearly enough. And it'll be a long time to put something like that together.
That'll be quite a project, but a great one to complete, or to at least have as a growing and evolving document.
Yes, and I just think it'll help me even see where I've been and where I'm going and what more I would like to accomplish from a design standpoint.
Nice. What's the best decorating advice you've ever been given, Renee?
Well, I don't know who gave it to me, and I'm not quite sure. I may have read it somewhere, but for me, it's not to try to copy someone else. You can surely use others' work as inspiration. You can look around you and be delighted by something, but you have to put your own twist on it in order to really make it work and to make it feel like it's been a part of you. So I think that's probably the best advice. Don't try to copy, just be inspired.
Be inspired indeed. What is one thing that our listeners can do at home today, Renee, to make their home more beautiful?
For me, you declutter your space. You put your things away, put them where they belong, and get rid of things that you don't need. And I think that is as good as any advice anyone can give in terms of making a home more beautiful. And then, of course, fresh flowers. Always add that little, even if they're not a lot, a couple of roses and a little vase on a side table, you know, a few peonies cut down to your entry. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be massive, but just a little something to add a little color and beauty.
It makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
Yes, it sure does.
Really does. Let's do a hypothetical for a moment, okay. Renee. God forbid this should ever happen, but let's say there was a fire at the apartment. Family, animals, all safe. What is the one object in your home today that you would risk the flames to save?
I really think it would have to be my daughter's wedding album. It was an amazing wedding. The photography is outstanding, and a lot of wonderful family photos and memories were captured in that album. So I think if I had to run in and get one thing that I just really did not want to lose, it would be that.
Sounds like a good pick to me.
Okay.
Very much so. Let's think about books for a moment. Are you a book lover, Renee?
Love books, yes.
Love books, great. What book would you recommend to our listeners? Something that you think should be on the bookshelf of every design lover in America?
Well, this is maybe repetitive, I guess, but I'm going to go back to Vincent Wolfe again because I love his books. And I especially love, it may have even been his first book. Even the name of it inspires me. It's Learning to See, Bringing the World Around You into Your Home. So I think that really reflects what's important to me. Again, going back to my roots and growing up on a farm and having nature be a part of me and then traveling, you know, to choose antiques and special objects and things throughout the various countries. I think that book inspired me and I think it would inspire anyone. But all of his books are wonderful. But that one, I love the title of that book.
That is a good one. A favorite of ours, no doubt. We'll post a link to that in the show notes section so our listeners can add that to their library if they don't already have it. And I know that they will thank you for that recommendation.
Great.
Renee, we've come down to the last question. Now, we end every show with the same scenario. So I'm going to paint a picture for you, and then I'll be curious to get your thoughts, okay?
Okay.
Imagine that you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world. It's physically identical to the earth that you know, but you don't know a single soul. You still have all the experience and the knowledge you currently possess. Your food and shelter are taken care of, but your new home is empty. All you have is a laptop, a mobile phone, and about $1,000 in your pocket. What would you do over the next 7 days to begin to decorate your new home?
Okay, this is not such an easy one, but I'll give it a shot here. First of all, you said my food was taken care of, but you said nothing about wine. So first thing is a couple of bottles of wine, a few wine glasses are definitely on the table in my budget. And then I think it comes down to, obviously, with such a small budget, there are going to be an awful lot of do-it-yourself projects in order to get something that gives us a semblance of home for us. And again, growing up where I grew up and having the skills I have, I'm capable of doing a lot with my hands and a lot myself. So definitely would purchase a sewing kit of some kind, some basic tools. Take my laptop and phone and look for consignment shops, yard sales, any place that you could choose interesting pieces at very reasonable prices. I'd find an overstock fabric house somewhere that we could buy yards of fabric to utilize within the space and create a space that gives, I think I'd have to concentrate on one room, but within that one room, have what you need. So we'd obviously need a bed, but maybe a couple of twin mattresses to throw on top of one another and then cover with some great fabrics to act as a sofa during the day with big pillows. And then to flip those couple of mattresses on the floor at night for a king size bed, some kind of gathering place with big pillows on the floor, or if we found vintage, you know, chairs at a yard sale somewhere, some paint does wonders, somewhere to gather. So we can invite, if we don't know anyone, obviously we want to make some new friends along the way here and bring some people in to share that wine and have a place to gather. And then we'd need some privacy. So again, the fabric comes in with my sewing skills. I could do some draperies and things that become practical. So to me, you need a bed, you need a gathering place, you need privacy, and you need to welcome people into your home and being creative, do-it-yourself projects with finding things along the sides of the road and consignment shops to make that happen.
Sounds like a wonderful approach. A lot of fun, too.
Well, it would bring me back to a lot of years ago.
A trip down memory lane.
How we had to do things.
Right. Renee Cohen, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a delight getting to chat with you.
Well, the feeling is mutual. It's been a pleasure meeting you. And I look forward to the podcast and seeing more of what you do.
Thank you so much. We want to thank our subscribers for tuning into the show today. None of this would mean anything if it weren't for you. So thank you for your dedication to the show. Remember to go over to the website, milliondollardecorating.com, where you can catch the notes from today's show. We'll post links to Renee's website so you can follow what she and her team are up to. We'll also post a link to the book that she recommended, that wonderful Vincent Wolfe volume. While you're there on our website, click on a few buttons, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And finally, and maybe most importantly, remember that it's up to you to make your world more beautiful.